Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Well, today we're going to continue a series that we started a few weeks ago entitled Impact. And we've been talking about, you know, when something hits something else, it hits and it leaves an impact. There's a change that has happened. And so we've been talking about the impact and what that impact, and specifically the impact we've been talking about, is what is the impact that the Holy Spirit has been given to us fully, as we know, on the day of Pentecost, because we've been studying that, right? This one day in history where God said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit, and that was the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit was given, and we're asking the question, what is the impact back then and today? And that's what I want us to dig into. And 2 weeks ago, we started this series, and we talked about the fact that the impact of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit's been given is now God is not just with us, but he's in us. And that changes everything. And we just sang about that, right? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And it changes everything, that God will reside in us. Just think about that. Everywhere I go, therefore, guess who's with us? God. The kingdom of God is there. And then last week we talked about Jesus and how he was Father-focused, but he was filled up with the Spirit. And he walked in the power of the Spirit. And what Jesus did so many times is he broke barriers, right? He broke the barrier of sin between us and God, but he also broke the barriers that man had placed in front of others that was keeping them from God. And so we said, if we're a church that's going to be empowered and Spirit-led, then we are going to be a church that breaks barriers between us and God and man. And we talked about that. That's going to make us a little uncomfortable some Sunday morning, because people are going to show up at Christ Fellowship that you would never invite if you had the choice. But this is what we know about us and how we believe at Christ Fellowship, that all are welcome. Amen? That Jesus says, you come to me and I will give you rest with no strings attached. No matter where you're at, no matter your past or what, we know that Jesus said, you come and follow me and I'm going to give you abundant life. And so we've been talking about this impact. And today what I want us to look at is one word, and that word is restoration. Restoration. And as I was looking and studying this week and thinking about this Acts 2 story of the Holy Spirit given, I was drawn to one of the main characters in the story, which is Peter. Now, Peter is a guy that I can relate to quite well. Peter is a man of high highs and low lows. He's a man that has the right thing to say at the right time, but he's also a man who puts his foot in his mouth more than one time. Is any other people in the room, you can relate to that, right? I know you guys can. Yeah, I've heard you speak before. And so, you know, we know that's the case. Like, so Peter, high highs and low lows. Peter, he was the first guy to say, Jesus, I'll follow you. Nobody else had followed Jesus yet. Jesus goes to him and says, Peter, follow me. And Peter says, hey, I'm not going to wait for anybody else. I'm just going to say yes. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to follow you. Peter was also the one that had faith and boldness to jump out of the boat and to get on the water and walk on the water. Nobody else, none of the disciples did except Peter. And he said, Jesus, as Jesus was walking on the water, Jesus, you call to me and I'll come to you. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water to Jesus. And then what happened though? Went from a high of faith to he started getting distracted by the waves and the wind, probably getting splashed in the face with the water, and he began to doubt and he began to sink, right? And Jesus reached down and saved him. Peter was a man of great highs and great lows. And one of the other stories that I love about Peter is, you know, Jesus had gathered all his disciples together and he's trying to get through their thick skulls of what was going to happen. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to eventually die. And so Peter says, hey, Jesus, hey, come here. Let me see. So Peter pulls Jesus aside. He says, hey, Jesus, hey, I don't know if you've read any church growth models, but like you dying is not part of the plan. Like I've got some dreams and ambitions and you dying is not going to help me reach that. And so Jesus, can we just hush it on the you dying and suffering part? Like that's not helping. And what does Jesus tell Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Like you thought you had a bad day before? You've never been called Satan by the Savior. But Peter was a man of great highs and great lows. And in your notes, I want you to write this down. This is where we're going to kind of set up for a little while. Peter denied, Jesus restored, and the Holy Spirit empowered. Peter denied, Jesus restored, and the Holy Spirit empowered. And so I just want to jump around a little bit and get us caught up to speed about this guy who we're kind of doing a little case study on, Peter. What was it about Peter on the day of Pentecost? What changed? What was the impact? Well, when Jesus had finally told him once again, hey guys, I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be put in prison and I'm going to be beaten. They were not getting it. And then it actually happened. The guys came, they took Jesus off. And at this time, all the disciples, they're like, what do I do now? Like, I have just put all my eggs in the basket of Jesus. I have just given 3.5 years to follow this Jesus guy who I thought was going to be the king. And now he's being drug away, beaten, and he's going to be put on the cross. What do I do now? And so we see that they were scattered out. And we know that Peter, he was there, and he was kind of standing on the outside looking in. All this is happening. Jesus is being beaten. He's looking. And we see that somebody comes up to Peter and says, hey, Peter, aren't you that guy that was associated with Jesus? And Peter's like, what, Jesus who? Like, what are you talking about? And then he kind of goes along his way. And then somebody else comes up to him. Hey, you, I saw you with that guy, Jesus, you. And he said, no, you, I'm mistaken. That's not me. I don't know who you're talking about. And then in Luke chapter 22, verse 60, this is what happens. So somebody else comes up to Peter and says, hey, aren't you that guy? And this is what Peter said. Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now we can read a story like this, and we can kind of glaze over it so easy, but just do me a favor for a second. Just put yourself in that moment. This is Peter, who had given his entire life. He left his company. Just imagine that, men and women, if you're in the workforce. He left everything that he knew. He left what he had been trained to do to follow this Jesus, left everything. And he was one of the closest friends of Jesus, in the core three that Jesus had. And now he sees this guy being taken off. And it says, I love the imagery. It says that as he said, I do not know, the eyes of Peter and Jesus, they lock on to one another. Best friends betrayed. And in that moment, Peter recognized the weight of what he was doing. He had just deserted his friend. He had just did what he was told he was going to do. He had denied Jesus a third time, and he heard the rooster. And that weight of that, it set in. And it says that Peter left that place, and he wept bitterly because he had recognized what he did. And shame and guilt was flooding in to Peter. Just think about that. But aren't you glad that our story doesn't have to end with I denied, I sinned? And what we see in Peter, yes, Peter denied, but then we see what happens a little bit later. And so Jesus, he goes into the cross and he dies, and then he's raised after 3 days. And then Jesus comes out of that time, he's resurrected, and he begins to show himself to many people, not just the disciples, but hundreds of people actually got to see Jesus. And honestly, there was firsthand accounts, even when some of the scriptures were written, where people actually saw the living Jesus after he was killed. And they gave testimony to know this resurrection, it really did happen. And so now Jesus is walking around, he's interacting with the disciples for 40 days. And one of these days, Jesus goes out to the lake where these guys are fishing, and he's standing there and he calls out to them. And Peter immediately, bold, faith-filled Peter, he immediately knows it's Jesus. And what's Peter do? Does he wait till the boat goes back in? No. It says that Peter jumped out of the boat and he swam to the shore to see Jesus. He was a crazy man, a passionate man. And it says that he's there now with Jesus. Now imagine this. Jesus takes the fish and he's frying up breakfast. I don't know if he's frying. He was probably bacon or whatever, boat roasting or whatever. It was breakfast. And if you thought breakfast at Tiffany's was great, like think about breakfast with Jesus. Just think about that. He's sitting there over a fire with Peter, mano a mano, one-on-one. The man who had denied him now is sitting across the fire where they're eating some breakfast, and Jesus looks at him, eyes to eyes. And he asks him a question, Peter, do you love me? First time, Peter says, yeah, of course, I love you. And then it goes on, and then Jesus says again for the second time, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter says, man, I'm a little frustrated, man, I'm a little hurt. He asked me again, yeah, Jesus, I love you. And then in John chapter 21, verse 17, this is what happens. Jesus said to him for the third time, Simon, son of John, which is kind of a longer name for Peter, the same person, Peter, do you love me? And it says that Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, what was Jesus doing in that moment? You see, Peter denied, and Jesus was bringing restoration. How many times did Peter deny Christ, right? Three times. How many times did Jesus ask Peter if he loved him? Three times. What was Jesus doing? He was bringing restoration. He was bringing it full circle. Where last time they had connected eyes, he had denied Christ. This time they connected eyes, and Jesus is saying, "Listen, you love me. Now you go and feed my sheep because you are restored." This is the role of Jesus. He restores us. And so Jesus has now restored Peter. He told him to go feed his sheep. And then we fast forward. Jesus ascends back into heaven on the 40th day. And they have a period of about 10 days where Jesus has gone before the Holy Spirit is given at Pentecost. So a 10-day period. They're there waiting. We read the last few weeks that the Spirit was given, the sound of rushing wind, tongues were given, languages were heard, chaos is happening. And then looks what happened at Peter. Cowardly, running away, Peter. Look at what happened in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words.'" Now just think of what has happened. Peter denied, Jesus restored, and the Holy Spirit empowered. See, Peter, he went from the one who denied Christ to the one who was proclaiming Christ, the one who was scared to be associated with Jesus, to now the one standing in front of thousands of people in the public eye saying, "I am not only with Jesus, I am for Jesus," and this is what he was for. Complete transformation, restoration happened. And what was the difference between the denying and the empowerment? It was that the Holy Spirit was given. See, when the Holy Spirit came upon and in Peter, it changed everything because Peter was empowered to live out who he already was. He was designed by God to be bold and to be a man of faith, but that had oftentimes been misdirected. But by the power of the Spirit, he empowered him to live out restoration. He allowed him to be him. And this is what I think the Spirit, the big part of what he does, because here's the thing. Many of us think the Holy Spirit's weird. I heard a great pastor say, the Holy Spirit is not weird. People are. You need to hear that. The Holy Spirit is God himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is not weird. People like to make him weird sometimes and do things in his name, but he is not weird. You just read the Bible. He's not weird. And so I just want to break that wall down because this is what the Spirit of God does when we are filled with and walking with the Spirit. He takes what Jesus did, which was restoration to the Father, right? Jesus came to restore our relationship that had been fractured by sin. Jesus said, "I'm going to die for you. I'm going to remove that penalty of sin, and I'm going to restore your vertical relationship with God. And I'm not done with you yet, though. I'm going to take that vertical restoration and I'm going to empower you by my Spirit to begin to allow your life to look like it does when you're with Jesus." See, who I am with Christ is what the Spirit does in the practical. He takes what's unseen and makes it seen. See, God, when he sees Derek as a follower of Jesus, he sees perfect, he sees righteous, he sees son, he sees royal priesthood. And what the Spirit does, it takes that reality that's in the unseen, what God sees, and helps me and empowers me to live out what God has already seen. See, that's what the Spirit does. He empowers us to live out our restoration. And it changes everything. And today I was thinking, like, how in the world do I get this across? Because the Holy Spirit, you know, I can't just bring him in and say, "Hey, this is what he looks like." It's a little challenging. And so, you know, how do I teach this? And I know it's Father's Day, and so I'm thinking, restoration. Well, the HGTV is for restoration, but I can't build a house up here. We could remodel the sanctuary. That will cost a lot of money. That'll come in the future. And so how can we do this? And then I was thinking like cars, like men, cars, like that would be good to bring. The stage isn't big enough. So then I thought, okay, I got it. Motorcycles. And we got any riders here today? I know, Charlie, you're a motorcycle guy. So here's what I found. I made some phone calls And a friend of a friend here at the church who doesn't go here, he allowed me to get this picture. Now, this is a Honda SL70. It's kind of a dual bike where you can ride on the road or on the trail. And this was a 1971 model, and this is the shape that the current owner bought it in. It was kind of rusted up, not running very well, just kind of in disarray, nothing special about it. And it needed restored, right? And so how many of you know restoration is a process? It takes some time. And so this next picture is part of the process. So we went from that to this. Like the restoration, it required a stripping away and to get down to the bones of it and then to build it back up from the bones. And so the restoration process required it to be stripped down to the frame and all the different pieces. He had to buy some different parts to put it back together, and he began to restore the motorcycle. And so he was so gracious today to allow me to use this as a demonstration of God's restoration. And so that restoration process took a while, but the end result, it went from that picture to this beautiful bike right here. Yeah, yeah. You can get a little whoop for that. Yeah, whoop. Look at the difference. See, it went from this, kind of rusted away, kind of forgotten. The glory was gone of that bike. And through a process of restoration, the proud owner of this beautiful bike restored it to have more glory than it probably had on its first day off the assembly line. And the reason why I wanted to show you this, because I think it is a good practical way to view how God has offered to restore us. You see, Mike, you and I, we look like this. Now, Leela probably looked a little bit better than this, honestly. But Mike and I, we like probably look worse than this. And honestly, all of us are born because we're born with a sin nature, right? So we're born where we're not fully have the glory of God on us. We've been separated from his communion with him because of our sin. And so we look a little raggedy around the edges and we look pretty rough. And what God says is, if you will call upon me, I will save you through my son, Jesus. And in that moment, everything changes. We go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of life. From destined to death to destined to eternal life. In a moment, restoration to my Father is given. When I cry out to him, Father, forgive me, everything changes. But how many of you know that that vertical relationship, although it's been restored, it's a process to allow what's happened vertical to be lived out horizontal? Anybody else in process like I am? Right? And this process is the fruit of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, he takes this vertical restoration, he begins to live it out horizontal, he begins to transform me more and more into the image of Jesus, and more I look like and I feel like this restoration masterpiece. This is what God desires for you. He didn't just say, I wanna save you. He said, no, I'm gonna save you, I'm gonna restore you, but now I actually want you to live a restored life. And here's what else I know about God. Is that what God does for us, he means for us to flow from us. What God does for us is meant to flow from us. That's what I believe about God. He loves me. What does he call me to do? Love. He forgave me. What's he called me to do? To forgive. And restoration is no different. He has restored me. And so my job, my honor as a follower of Jesus Christ is to partake in the restoration of those around me. And in your notes, I want you to write this down, that restored individuals restore communities. Restored individuals restore communities. Your salvation, your restoration was not meant to end with you. That's not what we see biblically. And what we see in this Acts story where the Holy Spirit was given, we see this gathering of people that had some issues as a culture before this happened. Now, when the 12 disciples were together, we know that they didn't get it all right, right? There were times where they said, hey, they got in a kind of an argument of saying, who has more power? Who's gonna have more authority? And so there were men that were like you and me, they had some pride issues. They had some desire to be promoted, some power struggles. And so they said, who's gonna be the greatest? And they had a fight over it. And then one other time they were together and they said, Jesus, hey, this group of people over here, they don't want to hear what we're saying. Can I call fire down and just burn them up? Like, so haven't you ever thought that about your neighbor? You know that. And I say that last time I talked about my heathen neighbors, that was a joke. And my neighbors go to our church and they're like, hey, are we the heathen neighbors? And I was like, no, that's some other neighbors. But unfortunately, my other neighbors go to Christ Fellowship too. And so I was kind of out of luck. Anyhow, This is what he has called us to. So the disciples, they didn't get it. They were confused. They were misunderstood. They didn't understand the Old Testament like Jesus was explaining. So there was some confusion. But then Pentecost happened and everything changed. Not only for Peter was he fully restored and in the process of restoration, but so were those that had been filled with the Spirit. And as they were filled with the Spirit and restored, they began to restore their community. Look in Acts chapter 2. It's in your notes there. 42. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Just think about the restoration of this community. They went from how can I get mine, how can I get more for me, to now I've got the Spirit in me propelling me to live a restored lifestyle. Now I'm not so worried about me, but I'm worried about my brother and sister. I'm willing to serve them and sacrifice for their betterment. This is what began to transform, and it shook up the entire culture of that area. People were like, what is wrong with these people? Why are they loving people so well? Why are they sacrificing their own needs? And why are they not being so promiscuous? They're being promiscuous with their money. They're giving away, but their bodies, they're actually keeping back. What has happened? And what I think happened was the fulfillment of what Jesus said a little bit earlier in his life. He said, listen, this is how other people will know that you're my disciples, because you go to a big church. No, no. This is how you'll know you're my disciples if you go to a little church. No, no. This is how you'll know you're my disciples if you have the right bumper sticker on your car. No. Jesus' words, they will know, the world will know that you follow me because of how you love each other. And what we see here in Acts, after the Spirit was given, we see individuals that have been restored and empowered by the Spirit, and that restoration overflows into their community, and their community begins to be restored. Aligned with who God is, the kingdom of God begins to break in. And the last thing I want you to write in your notes is this is the impact of Pentecost. Empowered restoration changes everything. Because you and I have now been invited into a story that's much bigger than your life. The story of God is a story of restoration, right? When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were in full communion in relationship with God. Yet they chose another plan. They chose to disobey. And through that sin, that relationship with God was fractured. And throughout history, God has been restoring back to what was in the beginning in the garden. He did that through the sacrificial system, although he said that's going to just be a sign, a shadow of what's to come. And then when Jesus came, he says, I am the Lamb. I'm going to pay for your sins, and I'm going to restore you back to the Father. But Jesus says, I'm not finished with you yet. Now I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit so that you can be with me and partner with me to bring restoration into this world until I return to restore all things. This is the big picture, and this is what it does for each one of us. It gives value to every single thing we do. Listen, if you're a teacher and you're getting ramped up and looking at your studies and preparation for school next year, listen, you have the opportunity to be part of the restorative process that God has. You're going to be speaking life. You're going to speak encouragement. You're going to speak identity and purpose over your kids. If you're a business owner and you hold meetings, listen, your meetings, believe it or not, have eternal value. Some of you are like, I don't know what Derek's smoking. But listen, they do. Because in those meetings, guess what you can do? The kingdom of God can break in. You can speak honor. You can speak humility. You can speak identity. You can allow what is true in heaven to become true in your relationships at work. Everything you do has value when it's empowered by the Spirit to be part of a restorative process that God has called us into. And listen, this is my life. I've shared this before, but as a follower of Jesus Christ when I was about 13 years old, I didn't get this for a long time. And I lived a life where I looked more like that old motorcycle. Even though I had been restored this way, my life did not look like it this way. And I had addictions, I lied, I was power hungry, I was driven for everything but what really mattered in my life. And then though, I got to know the Holy Spirit and it changed everything. I asked God, God, will you fill me with your Spirit? I say yes to you. And it changed everything. He began to restore me and my purpose and my identity, but also he wasn't finished there. He began to restore my family. And you guys know what that's like. He began to restore my relationship with my wife. Where at 5 years in, we thought we'd never make it. We thought there was divorce on the horizon. Yet when God is present, restoration happens. We had yielded ourselves to God, and he now has allowed us to enjoy coming up on 13 years of marriage, and I love her more today than I ever have. It wouldn't have happened apart from the Spirit of God. My relationship with my kids, my own confidence. Man, I was a cocky son of a gun. I was. And apart from Jesus, that's who I am. But when I got to know the Spirit of God, he gave me godly confidence. My insecurities began to melt away, and I began to be all right with who he created me to be. And if we're honest, that's what all of us want in this room. Many of us come in here with masks and different things that we're trying to show the world, and you just want to be, know that your life has purpose. You want to know that you're desired. But here's what happens when the Spirit of God comes into our life. He gives us the confidence of God to know that we're his beloved, that we're his sons and daughters. And it changes everything. And so this is what I want you to do this week. As we say, how do I apply this, right? We're not a church that just says, I want to keep this on Sunday in church. I want to say, how do we apply this truth? Well, I know that's a little challenging. So here's the two things that I know happen. Is we ask God, God, will you fill me with your Spirit? That's an act of saying, I trust you, God. I'm dependent upon you, God. And then what happens is when I hear God in the everyday, as I open up my Bible at my break, coffee break, my lunch, and I begin to read the Word of God, I say, God, this is what your Word says. Will you empower me to live it? Little baby steps of obedience that represent our faith. And little by little, we begin to be in this process of transformation, of restoration. And before long, you look like this, or maybe for your Harley guys, you'll look like a sweet Harley. But it's a restorative process. And so this week, I want you to ask the question, what does it look like for you to view the influence that you've been given as fathers, as coworkers, as mothers, as stay-at-home moms? What influence do you have? And how is God inviting you into his restoration process in your community? And then ask him to empower you. And then you take steps of faith this week to say yes. When you feel that Spirit inside you leading, you say yes. When you feel him stir up inside you to talk to somebody, you talk to them. And before you know it, our community, our families, even this church will be a product and will look like to the world as a restored community. And people will know us by our love. It'll change everything. And let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you that you've given us your Spirit to empower us. I thank you that you've allowed me the grace to get to know your Spirit in not a weird way, but an empowering way. Lord, I want every person in here that follows you to know your power, because I cannot live a life following Jesus apart from being filled and empowered by your Spirit. So bring restoration in our lives, bring restoration in our community, even in our church, Lord. For the name of Jesus and no other name.